in chapter 4. We're just going to address a very short passage because we do have communion, and I would like this message to be one that helps us to prepare for our communion as well as prepare us to face a new year. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 5 to 8. Many Bible scholars have labeled this Paul's farewell address. And I'd like to entitle the message, Paul Finished Well, Will You? Follow along as I read. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that also the love is appearing. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit be our teacher. Hide me behind the cross. Have your way in our hearts. And may this message draw us ever closer to you for this year and for our communion, that we could spiritually start off 2023 in a way that truly honors you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a new year has dawned. And I'd like to remind us that every day that comes presents new opportunities, and every day is a precious gift from God. We ought to look at life that way. None of us know the hour of our departure. A few years ago, People magazine published an article was entitled Dead Ahead. It told about a clock and watch that would keep track of how much time that you might have left to live. It calculated an average lifespan of 75 years for men and 80 years for women. And so you would program your gender and your age into this device. And from then on, it would remind you how much time you might have left. It was an intriguing idea, but it didn't go over so well. People don't want to be reminded of how much time we might have left. But I want to remind you that God wants us to be aware of it, because the psalmist wrote in Psalm 90 and the 12th verse, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. As we face a new year, I think many of us have come to the realization that life's plans are always tentative. Things happen that we don't plan on. Sometimes even the weather doesn't cooperate with our plans. This Christmas, for instance, it's a good example, isn't it? Thousands of people never got their flights to go home for the holiday. And if you've looked at the news and you saw some sad clips of people sleeping in the airports, people complaining that they couldn't get home to family, and then A few days later, we hear that these folks didn't even find their luggage. It is with the new year that we reflect on what was and what is and what can be in our lives. Now that's the outline of just a single point this morning, and it's basically taken from the text. Paul spoke about the present. He spoke about the past. And he spoke about the future. Paul is a perfect example to follow in laying down the path of a new year. It is with the new year that we reflect more than any other time of the year. You know, I learned a long time ago that we are all running the race of life. Paul mentioned that in Corinthians. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're running the race. And Paul, I think, is a good example because he did not start well, but he finished the course. Amen. And he finished well. Can I ask you this morning, what if 2023 was the last year that our Heavenly Father gave you? Would you finish well? Will God say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? So many people have great intentions as they begin a new year. We make those New Year's resolutions. We want to turn over a new leaf. We want to do better physically, emotionally, in every which way. But by February, most fizzle out. Because it's not how well you start, it's how well you're going to finish. I remember well a sermon that I heard preached. And I do appreciate when I get the opportunity to sit in the audience and hear a preacher preach. And it was titled, Finishing Well. In fact, I still have the CD of that sermon. And on occasion, I'll pull it out and I'll put it in the CD player in the church vehicle and listen once again to keep me on track. Got that CD from a men's retreat back in 2004, a group of our men here. I think Roy's probably the only one left of that group. A group of our men went to a Word of Life men's retreat, and we heard a godly and dynamic preacher, Pastor Tom Joyce. He was once commander of the USS Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier. Tom had a very, very distinguished military career. He graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. He later graduated from Harvard University. He became an F-14 fighter pilot with the Navy's Top Gun program. In those days, that program was top secret. And in fact, Pastor Tom, he wasn't a pastor back then. He flew a number of combat missions and was given the very prestigious and special awards for bravery. Later, the program was revealed to the public, and that is when Tom Joyce became the Top Gun instructor. Now, I'm sure many of you have saw the new movie, Top Gun Maverick. And that was the role that Tom Cruise played. But unlike Tom Cruise, it was Tom Joyce who actually was a Top Gun instructor. And in fact, it was Tom Joyce who actually flew those stunts along with a few other pilots at the Navy base where they were filming. And I'll never forget, he said that they just jot down some coordinates and hand it to you. You'll be flying this today, you'll be flying that. And at the time that they did it, they thought, it's nothing unusual, this is what we do. I thought, wow, that's just what we do. Because we didn't think nothing of it. We went up, we did our whatever they do, came back, and that was their day. And then they were told later, we filmed that for the movie Top Gun. Well, Pastor Tom told us how he went from commanding a Navy aircraft carrier. Roy, you might remember this. It was funny how he told it. And he got promoted to the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., but he struggled with the promotion because all he was a glorified coffee gopher for the high-ranking admirals and a paper pusher. God humbled him in that position. I mean, think about that. You're the commander of an aircraft carrier. You're responsible for multi-million dollar equipment flying on and off of your aircraft. And now you're a paper pusher. Now maybe your rank is higher and your pay grade is higher, but it certainly was humiliating. But God taught him so much through that demotion that was supposed to be a promotion. And it was there at the Pentagon that God got a hold of Pastor Tom's heart about finishing well. Now, obviously, from what I already told you, where he had a distinguished career. Yes, he started well. But he was more concerned now, being a Christian, was he going to finish well? That day that God got a hold of his heart was the day we've all come to know as 9/11. When Brother Tom Joyce believed he was going to die, he came face to face with death. He was on the fifth floor of the Pentagon when the terrorist crashed the airliner just below his floor. He saw cinder blocks flying out of the wall like missiles. And he described in a video that I watched how he saw those cinder blocks fly, crush people to death. He saw his life pass before his eyes. And the thought invaded his mind, I am about to die. What have I done for the Lord? Will my God and Father say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I remember him talking about how all of this was happening and it seemed like time was moving in slow motion. Some of you have been through these kind of things and your adrenaline is going and it's like time slows down. And your life passes before your eyes. Talked about how in his heart and mind there were things he could have done better and things he could have done for the Lord that he had put aside. He also said, you know, there were some crazy trivial things that went through his mind as well. Can you imagine that? You're about to die and you're thinking about things like your Dorito chips. He said he couldn't believe that he thought that. But he had brought in a bag of Doritos and he was going to enjoy them right after he had gotten out of an office meeting. He was going to come back and sit down and have his Dorito chips. And he thought, I'll never get to eat those chips. Can you imagine that? Anyway, that night, before he went to bed, his son hugged him. Said, I'll never forget, my son hugged me tight. And he said, Dad, I'm so glad you were alive we thought we lost you today. He said, Dad, I love you. And his son started up the stairs to go to bed, and he stopped and he turned and he said, Dad, what will you do now with the rest of your life? That question, out of the mouth of babes, overwhelmed him. Overwhelmed him into submitting to serving God to finish well. And Roy, you might remember that was his challenge to us as men. Will you finish well? So how will you finish the race of your Christian life? We can't know. We cannot even control the next minute. That is why the Bible over and over and over again instructs us as believers to occupy till He comes, to be busy about the Lord. But what we're finding in these last days where there is this global reset happening is Christians are using it as an excuse to just back away from serving the Lord, just sit the bench, just let things happen. And then we wonder why our churches are in this state of disrepair. Many churches and many Christians will not finish well, and many will be ashamed when the Lord comes. So the question is, how well will you finish? Paul addressed the elephant in the room at the very hour of his impending death, and his service to the Lord laid heavy upon his heart. The Apostle Paul's final testimony is a tribute to this subject. And again, it is my single point in this message, and I hope that it helps you in preparation for communion, but maybe even more importantly, your perspective as you face a new year. As your pastor, I've been here 35 years and I've seen seats empty. People who we love, who these poinsettias speak to our hearts about, aren't here with us. And you know, many of them finished well. Praise God. But it's not about them now, it's about us. I want you to go to verse 5 and look at it with me again. Apostle Paul is writing, and I'll remind you that this letter is written to his protege, a young pastor we know as Timothy. And in verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things. So we're talking here about the present, aren't we? Paul saying, Timothy, watch. People today don't watch so much. They go with the flow of whatever's happening. And people today want to know more about how to be healthy and wealthy as they encroach on the new year than how to serve others and serve Christ. Because that's a sacrifice. But that's how you finish well. The Apostle Paul, I believe, writes great advice for believers that can be applied to every day, but maybe even more importantly, at the start of a new year. And the word watch comes from a Greek word that means circumspect, which implies looking before you leap. Be cautious. But also it carries the idea, which our English does not, to be collective in spirit. And although Paul is talking to this young pastor, he's speaking to us. And I think it's great advice for a new year. We need to be cautious. And we need to be collective. And we need to be circumspect. And then he says, Timothy, endure afflictions. So what that tells me is there's not one of us who are promised that we aren't going to have adversity in our lives. And I've said this many times, and I'm sorry to be redundant, but one of the doctrines that is being forgotten, not preached, is the perseverance of the saints of God. And they persevere by enduring afflictions. Earlier, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, a good soldier endures affliction. And there's no excuse for us as a church not to know how to do that. We have people sitting here that have endured affliction. And some who have gone on. Janie Ratty comes to this church every Sunday. She has endured affliction. But she desires to finish well. Amen. We have a godly example. And before that, we had others like Barbara Holmes. I don't know what's going to happen to any of us as we encroach upon 2023. But I do know that God has told us through His Word that no matter what happens, we are to persevere. We're to endure affliction. And there's no excuse not to be busy about the things of the Lord because we have affliction and adversity. He says, and do the work of an evangelist. So, well, I'm not an evangelist. Well, we're all called to be evangelists. Yes, I understand that that is a God-called individual, but it is also a purpose that God has given every church and every believer. Is it not upon your heart to see your family saved? I know when I got saved, I did everything I could to see that my father, my brother, my mother all came to Christ. I thank God many of them are in heaven waiting for me. We are to be busy about the gospel, even in our affliction. Paul says, make full proof of thy ministry. Now that he's talking to Timothy, but we all have a ministry, don't we? If you don't, you ought to. Paul had known much discouragement. There's some of you here who study the whole book of Acts with me and the book of 2 Corinthians, and we saw in those passages the things that the Apostle Paul suffered during his ministry. He had every reason to be discouraged. And yet, as he comes to, as I said, the elephant in the room, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. And I don't think we can fully grasp what that means, because when it's translated into English, it loses a lot of its nuances. So follow me carefully as I try to exposit. You know, the word offer translates a Greek word. And I normally don't like to bring up Greek words unless we can associate them maybe with something in English. And the Greek word is spento. What does that sound like to you? Spent. Very good, Maggie. Spent. When Paul came to the end of his life, he had spent his life for Christ. I think that the Bible could give you a better understanding of what Paul is saying by going to Romans chapter 12 with me, just quickly. Romans chapter 12 in the first verse. This would be a good verse to begin the new year with. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you, or ye, present your bodies a living, what? Sacrifice. That is to be offered unto God. That is to be spent for God. A holy and acceptable sacrifice unto God. And then the last phrase blows my mind. That she says is your reasonable service. Wow. There's many of us don't even believe that we have to serve. We're here to be served. Let's be honest. Listen, I get phone calls all the time from people. And it's like, I'll call it the 20 question phone call. Pastor, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this other thing? And I try to be kind and listen to all. And certainly we want to offer whatever we have. And by the way, we can only offer what we have if you're willing to serve and do a ministry unto the Lord. Amen. And I wonder sometimes, have they not heard that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many? Mark 10:45. Read that sometime. Meditate on that. And you know that word offer, which from the Greek is phanto, actually kind of finds itself in the Hebrew teaching. If we go to Exodus 29 and verse 40, we find Moses being given a description of the dual lamb sacrifice. And the dual lamb sacrifice came with a hin of flour and a hin of wine. And it's there, that sacrifice, that the word there is to be poured out. The wine was to be poured out. Some would say, well, isn't that wasting it? No, it's an offering unto God. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. And a perfect illustration of that is when Mary Magdalene took the spikenard and she broke the perfume bottle open and she poured it on the feet of the Lord Jesus. And remember, Judas was upset about it. Oh, we could have sold that and gave the money to the poor. No, we would have sold it and he would have put the money in his pocket. And Jesus said, she has poured that out unto me as a memorial. And that's the picture here, that Paul poured his life out unto God. Every one of us could do better. I know I can, and I'm going to admit it, because it is our reasonable service. Paul continued and he said this, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, many of us would read that and we would say, well, he's talking about time for his death. But that's not the word. The use of the word departure here from the Greek simply means he was leaving one place to go to another. Often when we say death, it's final. That's not the word he used. The word actually comes from a word that was used often in the Bible times of unyoking your oxen from the cart. You know how they would yoke them together with the yokes. And that word was used to unyoke the oxen or the mule. Now when they unyoked them from the cart, and what were they doing while they were at the cart? They were serving, weren't they? They were pulling the plow or pulling the cart. And they would take the yoke off and they would take them from where they served and they would either release them to the field or take them to the barn. When we die, those of us who know the Lord, absent from the body, we will be present with God. We will have a departure. We will be translated from this life to a greater life. That's what we have to look forward to. And that's what Paul is saying here. My departure is at hand. And I'm ready. Paul says he's ready because, what did he say? I have fought a good fight. Now you gotta meditate on that a minute. You say, fight. Boy, that's a word about, you know, strife. Struggle. But isn't that what the Christian life is? We are fighting against the prince, power of the air, the god of this world, who will be destroyed. He will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. He will be bound for those 1,000 years when we come back with the Lord Jesus as administrators in his kingdom. He'll be bound. And then he'll be loosed, and we're going to talk about this as we move into the book of Revelation. But ultimately, his destination is the lake of fire. God did not create hell for humanity. Why would he? Well, before the foundation of the world, God, in his mind, his grace and his mercy, prepared Jesus to be the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world to reconcile a lost humanity back to his heavenly Father. And Jesus willingly did that. God of the universe, the one who created all that is created, willingly came and died for you. Is he not worthy that we fight a good fight? Paul said, I have not only fought the good fight, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Like an Olympic marathon runner, the apostle Paul had finished his lifelong race. And do you know, marathon runners know the elation of finishing the grueling miles of that race. There are some of you here that have run marathons. And you know that it doesn't depend on how well you start. It depends on how you finish. Getting back to Pastor Tom Joyce. When he became a pastor after 9/11, devoted his life completely to God, he's much more fulfilled. He still goes around the country speaking. He's also a pastor at a great Bible church in Virginia. Forget the name of it right now. But he said that he always wanted to run a marathon. And I don't know why, but he signed up for one of the most grueling. The Marine Corps Marathon. It's 26 miles. Anybody here run 26 miles? Bob? No? 26 miles. Now, listen to this. He said by time he got to run, it was a piece of cake. He finished well. Do you know why? He prepared well. He said, I practice. And when the day came, he was able to run 20 miles without stopping. Without stop, he said he never stopped. You know where they have the little stations where you can get something to drink and you stop for a minute? He goes, I ran the whole race. I finished well. And he goes, that's what I want to do for the Lord. And I'm going to ask you this morning, what about you? Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. You give it your all. We're all in a race. It's our reasonable service. It's a race to the finish line, to our departure, not our death. There is no death for Christians. There is no condemnation for believers. The Bible says that. We pass from this life to a greater life. Think about that when you think of your loved ones who you miss. They have passed on to a greater life. Paul finished the course set out for him because he lived by that verse that God gave him. Run in a race and give it your all, but one receiveth the prize. He said, and so run that you may obtain. You say, well, what prize are we going to get? Well, Paul had talked about the present. Then he talked about the past, and now he's talking about the future. In verse 8, he says, okay, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That was his present. And now he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me, henceforth, meaning in the future, there is laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day? The day of the Bema Seat of Christ. And not to me only. Amen. Right? You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary. This is given to all who would serve the Lord and finish well. And also unto all them that also love his appearing. In other words, you are looking up. You're desiring the Lord to come. But you're also serving while you're watching. Paul finished the course set out for him by Almighty God from the beginning of his Christian life. Remember that day? If you don't remember, go home and read Acts 9 where God knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus going, I'm going to round up these Christians. I'm going to stop this sect. God knocked him off his horse. It's the first time he heard the voice of God. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I'm sure there's some here you've heard God speak. But are you listening? Paul's crown of righteousness was in a safe place. And he will get it one day. We'll be there. You know, the word translated crown, and I'll give you the Greek because it does translate into English, Stephanos. What name do we get from Stephanos? Stephen. The word translated crown, Stephanos, refers to the victor's crown. For some who understand about ancient athletic games, the Greeks would give this particular crown, the Stephanos crown, to the winner of the athletic events. It's much like the Olympic Games today where they get the gold. It is a sign of great accomplishment. It is a sign of a great honor. And the Apostle Paul knew, and he says it here, his time of departure is at hand. He knew that he was about to be martyred for his faith. He was about to be beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero. But he knew that he would be vindicated. And he knew that he would be rewarded by God Almighty himself. Now, I don't understand all about the evil in the world. There's so much injustice. But I have to believe that God is a righteous judge because the Bible teaches that. I do understand that in the garden, God gave man a choice, a free will. And when you really boil that text down, if you would, an expositive, you got to come away with knowing that man chose to know evil. It wasn't God's desire for us to know evil, but every time evil wreaks its ugly head, all of us, what's wrong with you, God? Where are you? He's fixing the mess we made. But he gave us a free will. We decided in the garden to know the evil. That was the temptation of the devil. You will be like God. You will know good and evil. I know some of you are thinking, if I was in the garden, I would have chose good. You can't be better than the perfect people that God created. But God did give them a free will. All Christians who truly love the Lord Jesus and are looking for his appearing, meaning his second coming, ought to live to obtain the crown. Not for our purpose, but for Jesus. Quickly, there are four crowns mentioned in the scripture. The crown of rejoicing, the crown of life, the crown of glory, and the incorruptible crown. Which crown will you lay at the feet of Christ? Regardless of the adversity you are experiencing, don't be discouraged. And I don't know what 2023 will bring. I do know that the Bible teaches that things are going to get worse before they get better, but they will get better. Amen. And I know that Paul told us, and you really strip it away, it's God, be not weary in well-doing. Stay busy doing that which is good. Be not weary in well doing. For in due season, in the proper time, ye shall reap if you faint not. Don't give up. I have to close. Somebody once said, and there's debate as to who said this, whether it was Eleanor Roosevelt or a man by the name of Jim Singen. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Kind of like it. The Bible tells us not to count on tomorrow because tomorrow may not come. And when we think about it that way, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. Beware of that. All we have is right now. So our time on this earth is valuable because it is very limited. And in the year that lies ahead, your answer to just one question will have more effect in your life than any other decision you'll make. Pastor Tom Joyce came face to face with that question on his heart at the moment he saw his death, but God spared him. Did I finish well? Will God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, these are good people. I know you love them. And I know probably just about everybody here in this auditorium has been saved, been born again. And we thank you for that. But what are we doing that we one day can lay a crown at your feet? Will we finish well? Father God, I pray for maybe there's one or two here that never really truly repented of sin. They haven't come to the place in their life where they hate sin, that sin is what destroys, sin is what separates us from you. And if they're here today, Lord, I hope not, but if there is, may they truly say, oh God, I'm so sorry for my sin. I repent. I am sorry, Lord. It put Jesus on the cross to die in my place, a vicarious substitution for all of my sin, and I accept him as my Savior. Save me, Father. The Bible is clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, Father, we love you. Thank you. Help us to make 2023 the very best year of our lives as we surrender to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to prepare for communion, so I'm going to ask Juan and Tom if they'll come. And while they're doing that, you know, it was the Apostle Paul who rebuked the church at Corinth for their poor behavior and their disgrace at the Lord's Supper. They thought they were really, really spiritual. But the Apostle Paul told the Christians that they really needed to undergo spiritual examination. What they were doing and how they were doing it was not honoring to God. We need to come to the table the proper way. We need to do a thorough and proper examination. I remember growing up, and bear with me, shared this with Tom this morning. My mother would do a thorough house cleaning twice a year. I think the first time was right before the holidays, around before Thanksgiving, and then before Easter. Now, my mom, the way she house cleaned was, I would say, crazy. But when I think back, there were four boys, and we got the job of moving every piece of furniture out of the room. And that furniture did not come back in the room until it had been thoroughly cleaned. Everything taken out of the drawers and cleaned did not go back in the room unless it was. And my mom would be in that room and she'd clean everything. And no, she did not use a mop to clean the floor. She said, you can't really clean a floor with a mop. I can still see her on her hands and knees with a bucket of water and a scrub brush. And she would do all the wood floors. All the curtains would be come down. There'd either be new ones put up or she'd clean them. She did what is called the deep cleaning. And by the way, I hated it. Twice a year, I knew that torture was coming. But it was a deep cleaning. That's what we need to do today. So I'm going to ask you to, for a moment, to take a time, the time, to meditate, and we'll prepare the table. Father, we are embarking upon a new year. We want to start it off right, spiritually. You know our sin. You know the things we just call bad habits. But we recognize that in your sight, their sin, they were placed on the Lord Jesus. Lord, may you be honest and transparent with you because you are God. You know everything. The things that we call habits, the things that we call, you know, a quirk. Let us do a deep clean. Confess them today to acknowledge before you that they are unholy in your sight. Cleanse us and wash us clean as the driven snow. And as Isaiah said in chapter 1, as white as wool. Bless this time, Lord, as we come to this table. In Jesus' name, amen. It was the Apostle Paul who said, that the Lord had delivered unto him and to you and me this ordinance of the church. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, to do this in remembrance of me. One of the things that we do here at Dover First Baptist is that we give the bread of life. It is what nurtures our soul. We want others to come in and get some. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because it's on the church sign. We want to give the living bread. So let's all work together this year to get people to come in, and people who have fallen away, come back and get the living bread.